Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Our next guest is Dr. Jeff O'Driscoll. He is the author of a book called Not Yet, and he will be the keynote speaker at the All Souls Conference at the Abbey Resort in Fontana at Lake Geneva this weekend. He'll be speaking Saturday at 3, and you can find out more about all of this at JenWeigel.com. Jen's been helping promote it. The doctor's in our studio today, and Doctor, I'm glad you could be here today. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's great to be with you. Thank you for having me.
It's a fascinating concept and topic, and I know you come to this personally, not only because of your occupation, but because of a crash that happened years ago. You're an emergency room doctor by training, right?
Yes. For 25 years, I was an academically oriented, science-based physician, but science couldn't explain some of the experiences I had in the emergency department.
What do you mean by that?
Well, sometimes when a patient would die, I would literally see their essence or their soul leave their body, and they'd communicate with me before they left. On one occasion, for example, I had a patient who was flown in from an outlying facility after a severe car crash that took the life of his wife and his 14-month-old son. And when I went into the trauma room to see him, he was unconscious on the gurney. There was a team of providers taking care of him, and standing above him in the air was his deceased wife, who communicated with me. I'd never met either one of them before that time, but there she was. And they never talked about that in medical school, surprisingly.
Did the other people in the room at that time see the wife in the air like that?
There was one other nurse, and in fact, that nurse came and got me. I wasn't going to be taking care of that patient. There were other doctors there, but this nurse, who knew that I'd had these kind of experiences, and she'd had them herself, she came and got me, and she said, "You have to come to the trauma room. She's there." And I said, "Who's there? What are you talking about?" She said, "His wife. She's there." And she drugged me down to the trauma room. So, yeah, one other person did have the same experience.
Something that you saw with your eyes, or just something that you felt?
Well, people ask me that a lot, and one would think that if I was seeing it with my eyes that everybody else in the room would see it as well. And so the way I describe it as a physician, when we see things as a, the way the medical profession looks at it is you have these electromagnetic waves that go through your eye, and the retina converts them to electrical signals that travel down the optic nerve, and the occipital cortex converts them into an image. That's the way sight works from a medical perspective, but when I have these experiences, it's as though all of those steps are bypassed, and I just get the pure, unadulterated experience without the physical sight, I suppose.
One could interpret that, though, as you're sort of projecting and that it's not there. When they communicate with you, do they tell you things that you would not otherwise know that are later verified?
I haven't had a lot of experiences that were subjected to that kind of scrutiny. I've never sought to have the experiences verified by anyone else. She just merely expressed her profound gratitude for the care her husband was receiving. But one of the things that was interesting was this same nurse came and got me a month later, and she said, "We have to go tell him what happened." And I was not inclined to do that. I don't like to talk about it much usually. But she drugged me up to his hospital room, and she proceeded to tell him what had happened, what we had seen. And he started to weep because she physically described his wife and what happened. And he said, "Yeah, that was her. That was definitely her." And then he proceeded to explain that before his body was even extricated from the vehicle, he had left his body and risen up above the scene of the accident and met his wife in the air in this profound, indescribable light. And she said, "You have to go back and raise our other son," because they had a 7-year-old that was in the accident as well. So he and I have been good friends now for 25 years after that shared experience we had.
That's Jeff Olson you're describing?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We'll pause here for a minute. Maybe you've had, you know, this is where the host says, "Hey, if you've had something like this happen to you, give us a call." And that seems to be preposterous, but maybe not. Maybe you would tell me that a lot more people have had experiences like this, either as individuals or physicians, than they might otherwise admit, right?
Yeah, In fact, a very high percentage of people have had these kind of experiences. One researcher in the Netherlands, a cardiologist, said it was so common in his practice that he studied it, and he published his results in The Lancet, which is a highly respected peer-reviewed medical journal. He found that almost 20% of cardiac arrest survivors have some such experience.
I'll ask you to tell me more about that after a quick break. And also then, is this affirming? I guess this must be a very positive notion, but I wonder what it's like on the other side. We'll pick it up here in a minute. Dr. Jeff O'Driscoll is an emergency room physician. He is a author as well. His book is Not Yet. He's the keynote speaker at the All Souls Conference, a wellness conference at the Abbey Resort in Wisconsin this weekend. He'll be speaking Saturday at 3. So, Doctor, you were talking to us a little bit about how the essence of a person rises and goes up, and this acquaintance of yours, Jeff Olson, sort of, what was it? It was his wife who passed away, and you said that, in fact, he was there with her in kind of a great light. She said, you've got to go back and raise our son, right?
Yes, that's correct. His body was trapped in the vehicle, and he left his body, and above the scene of the accident, his deceased wife met him and said, you have to go back and raise our other son, because their 7-year-old son had survived the accident with minimal injuries.
Do you interpret this as a religious experience?
No. No, it far transcends religion. One might describe it as a spiritual experience or perhaps a paranormal experience, but for me, it has nothing to do with religion.
And again, you say that other doctors, physicians around the world have said, yep, I've been there, I've done that, I've seen it happen, I've experienced this some level as a caregiver. A lot of people aren't excited to talk about that because then their sanity or judgment gets questioned. But I wonder if there is some universality to all of this, and I understand there is, then what is it? Is it heaven? Do you exist as a spirit? What is it like after you pass away?
There are some common elements that people describe. Most of them talk about a light. They often talk about an experience of pure, unconditional love. Many of them encounter what they feel to be divine beings. They have an absence of pain. Many people are in horrible pain, and then when they're released from their body, all the pain subsides. Yeah. So there's actually quite a list of common elements. Not all experiences are quite the same, but they share common themes.
My high school term paper, maybe it was eighth grade, was about this. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, right?
Right.
Raymond Moody.
Yeah, Raymond's a friend of mine.
I'm thinking of some of the names that I've studied, and they've said the same things that you're saying now, which I guess really supports what you're trying to impress upon us, that if it's been reported this way for years across cultures, then maybe there's something to it. I wonder if we eventually, though, in that spirit state, dissipate, or if we exist for eternity.
Well, there's probably different opinions on that, but most of the people I know, and I know a lot of experiencers who talk about an eternal existence, not just after death, but before birth. In fact, Raymond Moody, who first used the term near-death experience in the English language, has studied it for 40 years, and I didn't talk about my experiences for 25 years. When I finally talked about them and when I finally wrote my book, Raymond Moody called me up one day. And he told me that for 40 years he was an objective observer, even a skeptic, didn't believe in a life after mortal existence. And he said, after reading my book and hearing my experience with Jeff Olson, he relinquished his doubts and believed that there is indeed life after death.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of us want to believe this, but there's also a part of us that's obviously going to be naturally skeptical. Boy, if you had some good pictures of the body floating above, that would help.
Yeah.
I mean, you chuckle, but I mean, is there any photographic or video evidence, any Ghostbusters sort of plasma detection, anything like that?
I know some people claim to have some photographic evidence. I've never seen anything that was convincing to me as far as photographic evidence.
So then you're telling us this is really just based on mostly on the experience of people who have quote unquote passed away, come back to life, and then they describe what it's like.
Right. But there's also what I had was not people that pass away and then come back. That's often referred to as a near-death experience. What I had is often referred to as a shared death experience in that I was perfectly awake and alert. I was not on any kind of drugs. I was not having a seizure. I was in the middle of a shift as an emergency physician. And after I had my experience, I went back out into the other parts of the department and finished my work. So the normal...
I'm sorry, doctor. You're describing what there? I mean, what's extraordinary about what you just said?
Well, I saw this deceased person's essence outside their body while I was completely awake and on no drugs or had any other explanation for it. People that have these near-death experiences where they die and come back, a lot of people propose that they had either an hallucination or an anoxic brain injury or a temporal lobe seizure or something else. But none of those explain my experiences. I had a colleague who's an emergency nurse in another state. She was literally resuscitating a guy, doing chest compressions on a guy that was in cardiac arrest due to a heart attack, and she looked up and saw him standing in the corner of the room observing his own resuscitation, and then later had a conversation with him days later about his experience outside of his body.
I've read, as you have reported, that sometimes people will relay what was said in the ER while they were unconscious, but they were able to witness it because they've now passed, if you will. Their spirit was observing it from above, and then they came back to life. But let's ask Julie to join us on line one. Julie, you're on WGN Radio. What do you want to say? Hi.
Good morning. This is such an interesting subject. And I experienced this with my grandparents. My grandfather had died first. He was my grandmother's caregiver, and 6 months later, my grandmother passed away, and I was sitting in the kitchen, and the caregiver was sitting with her in next to her hospital bed, and I could see all of a sudden, it just happened where I could see both of them. They were standing in front of me in the kitchen. And my grandfather always wore, like, a suit and a hat, even if he was going to the grocery store. So he was standing there in his suit, and my grandmother was in the nightgown that she passed away in, and the two of them were holding hands, and they smiled at me. They didn't say anything, and kind of the minute that I kind of realized what was going on, they were gone, and... So that was the first time something like that had ever happened to me.
And, I'll bet. And is that when she passed away then? And then did she pass away at that time?
And I think that's kind of what brought me back because the caregiver yelled, "Julie, get in here."
The caregiver witnessed it as well? The caregiver saw what you just described too?
No, she was in the other room where my grandmother was.
Oh, I see.
In the kitchen.
Oh, okay. Wow. We're out of time, Julie. That's remarkable. Doctor, what do you make of a story like that?
I hear these stories very frequently. In fact, I just spoke several weeks ago to the International Association for Near-Death Studies, and my topic was about normalizing the shared death experiences among healthcare providers. These are very common experiences, particularly among hospice providers who are around people when they pass.
Wow. Okay, to read more, the book is aptly titled Not Yet, and Dr. Jeff O'Driscoll is our guest. He's the keynote speaker at the All Souls Conference at the Abbey Resort in Lake Geneva at the Fontana Resort, 3 o'clock on Saturday. You can find out more by visiting Jen Weigel, the famous Jen Weigel's website, jenweigel.com. Doctor, fascinating. Thanks for coming into our studios.
Thank you. Wonderful to be here.